It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Second hour of KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out. That's Fluto Shinzawa from The Atlantic on the Jeremy Swayman situation. John, you know what this reminds me a little bit of? Kind of a little bit of the kicking and screaming that Jake DeBrusk did in his last days here. It was just kind of like, okay, bro, are you believing your press clippings? Like, can you get with the program and just get this thing done? I almost wonder with Swayman, like, does he feel like he is bigger than the situation?
Well, he said he kind of has a responsibility to future goalies, and that's not the exact quote, but it almost feels like he feels like it's a little bit bigger than the situation. Because if you're a guy in Swayman, now look, he had a .916 save percentage last year. That was fifth. His goals against average was eighth. He played well. He was really good in the playoffs, but he only played 43 games, and he's only 25. So do you really think you deserve $9 million a year when you only played 43 games last year? You've never played more than 50 games in a year? Like, I just think it's unreasonable. And look, a lot of times when players are either free agents or they're in the last year of their deal and they're trying to get more or whatnot, I say, hey, you know what? Good for you. Try to get paid. But, like, this is at the point where now it feels kind of unreasonable from Swayman's camp.
I've seen a very interesting article from Greg Wyshynski at ESPN and talking about the contract situation. Probably shared in a tweet, but it gets into Lewis Gross saying that pretty much disappointed in Cam Neely and the statements that he made and that he never heard that $64 million number before then. But this is very interesting when it gets down further in the article. It talks about Swayman entering into his fifth year, right? But it also talks about that how him and Olmark had both decided that they both wanted to play 55 games, and clearly they can't do that. And so Sweeney said that's why Olmark was traded. So for those who are saying, hey, look, why'd you get rid of Olmark if you thought this deal was going to get done? Is that both of those guys wanted to at least mind the net 55 games, and you can't do 110 doesn't go into 82 equally. So one had to go. So that's why if I'm the Bruins, if I'm Don Sweeney and those guys, I'm like, okay, both of you guys wanted the same thing, and we've already made a decision that we're not going to keep Olmark and be able to meet his demands because he wouldn't have been happy because we weren't going to make him. So now this is your team. You also want the most money for it? Because that tells me that they were willing to. If Olmark says, hey, I'm good to play 35 games, Olmark is probably still here.
And on top of it, though, I think if you're the Bruins, that's where I give them a little bit of blame of, if you're going to trade Olmark, you should be very close to a deal with Swayman at that time. And it seems all the reporting has been they were far apart. Most of the summer they were far apart then. So I give them a little bit of blame for not being closer to a deal before trading him. But I agree with your point that if they're going to trade the other guy, and Olmark isn't just some stiff. Like, this dude won a Vezina a couple years ago. If they're willing to trade him for you, isn't that a pretty big sign of respect right there?
Right.
That they are serious about negotiating with you? And I think, look, again, if Swayman wants to get paid, I don't blame him for wanting to get paid. But when you only played 43 games last year and now you want $9 million a year, like, come on, like that's a little much.
Yeah,
like,
you can't come off as Martin Luther goaltender talking about like I'm here to for the other people who come after me. Yeah. The Bruins don't care about who comes after.
And there's
you.
Plenty of other big goalie contracts that help the market anyway.
Mookie Betts said something similar leading up to his free agency. He said he felt like it was his duty to the Players Association to reset the market.
Sure.
And what happened?
And he to an extent he did, but that I look at those situations,
I totally get
Zach,
it.
As
but
a little bit different. Because I think the Red Sox didn't want to really pay him, and it feels like the Bruins are willing to pay Swayman, and he just is being a little unreasonable here.
Well, I think the other part of that is, at the end of the day, Mookie Betts didn't get what he wanted from the team he was negotiating with. And that's what's happening with Swayman right now. He's not getting what he wants from the team he's negotiating with. Let's go to Joe in the car, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Lyons. You're on the air, Joe.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. That's why I was calling. Like, what? For me, Swayman is not worth $9 million. I don't care what anybody says. He's not worth $9 million. He's never been a starter. He's had his great moments. He's won some good games for us. But for him to be like, now I'm the man that, oh, I want all these demands and everything. Like, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Just like I said to Judon. Get rid of Judon. Now, but the thing is, you gotta blame the Bruins, man. I mean, like one of you guys said, why would you trade Omach without having Swayman locked up? That's crazy to me. Now we're not gonna have either one of them, but I don't know. You trade Omach without tying up Swayman. That's kind of pretty dumb to me, Don Sweeney. I mean, it's going to be the typical Bruins. Great season, and then playoffs come, one and done. It's just so asinine, man. It's crazy.
Joe, thanks for the call.
Love the show, guys.
Thank you so much. You know what this is very much the equivalent to, and you hear women say this all the time. You know what? If you're going to see other women, why don't you just break up with me first and then go pursue them? When the guy knows that, wait a minute, the way it works is I've got to get a commitment from this other one before I let this one go. So
sounds like you got some experience with that, KJ. That was
not
well
anymore, but yes, absolutely. That's any man who breaks up with his girlfriend to try and take a chance with the person that he thinks he has a chance with is the dumbest man ever created. Like, you're the one who has the expiration date that's 10 years ago on the new can that was just put out on the shipping assembly line. But I think that's what we get to. Like, if Omar wants 55 games, Swayman wants to play 55 games. Now you've kind of got like a, I don't want to use the word what they call it, but you got a standoff really at the OK Corral where it's like, okay, which one do you want to give the 55 games to? So if you say it's not Omar, well, then Omar is, well, I'm out of here. Get me out of here right now. Now, this is where the Bruins, I would say, is kind of like, you're foolish, is you should have then gone to them with already a signed contract in the pocket.
Yeah, and I think that's the piece. That's the only piece in this that I really blame the team for is that, when you trade Ullmark, when did they trade? Like late June, early July, whenever it was, you should have been able to have a Swayman deal done within a couple weeks or so of that at the latest. Like you should have been at least very close on a deal, if not having one already done. And
already done is the answer because anything short of that is why we're here.
Or you should have known then, hey, we're not going to get a deal done with Swayman. He's not going to budge off 9 or 9.5, so we'll just trade Swayman instead or keep him short term.
Or here's the other side of it. What if they thought they were in accord with Swayman,
and
Swayman flipped the switch at the end. Like, oh, no, I saw how you treated your ex-girlfriend. Now I'm going to be your main woman. And what you did to me last year at arbitration, sugar, I ain't forgot.
And the team, I think, to an extent, should have seen his hard line coming because he seemed personally insulted by the arbitration process last year.
Yeah.
And we can agree or disagree with it, but he seemed like he was personally insulted. He's talked about the market and the importance of that. He had a good season, albeit less than 50 games, but he had a good season. He was your guy in the playoffs.
Right.
I think they should have seen him taking a hard line coming. So if you're going to trade Omar, you should have known either, hey, we have a deal done with this guy, or we're not going to get a deal done with this guy, so we actually shouldn't trade Omar.
So maybe the Bruins let their guard down a little bit and tried to allow a personal relationship reestablish and say, okay, towards the end of the season, like, because think about it, you know, Omar barely played in the playoffs.
I think he just played game two against Toronto, right, and that was it.
So in essence, you're almost kind of saying we're kind of signaling to you what we believe the future is, right? Because you're our guy. We're riding you. Even in these games where the games got out of hand, Swayman was still able to roll, okay? So maybe you're the Bruins and say, okay, we've gone through it with this guy. He is our guy. You know, we've helped raise him in this organization. And even though things were sour to taste last year, we've seen what he can do. We believe in him, and we believe we'll get a deal done. So the question I have is Swayman holding on to anger, and that's why a deal's not getting done?
It's possible. Or at the very, maybe he really believes, hey, I just want to set the market. And okay, fine. Like, if that's what you really want to do, fine. But I just don't think it is reasonable for him to do here and in this moment. And if you look at the Bruins, I know in, what, the 80s and the 90s, they had the reputation they never wanted to pay anybody and this and that.
There was a lot less money in the sport at the time, too.
You look at them in the last 20 years, they have given big contracts to just about anybody that's played well here. I mean, look at all the big extensions, including goalie extensions
right.
for Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask. But they've given big money. I mean, Marchand, Bergeron, Chara, right? Paille, Campbell. I don't have to go through the whole list.
But all those guys weren't like even second, third year in their career.
Right. And even like McAvoy and Carlo and guys and Pasternak that are on the team now, like they all got big money. So the team has shown that if you are good and you buy into the Bruins, they will pay you big money. And I think sitting there and offering Jeremy Swayman 8 years and $8 million a year is pretty good for a guy that hasn't played 50 games in a season. Like, I think that's more than fair. I don't think he would get that offer from a lot of other teams in the NHL. And maybe he'd find a team or two that would pay him more, but I think a lot of teams would not want to give him that offer right now, might want to wait a year.
Yeah, I think Swayman probably, if his starting number, and it might have come down, I think he's probably wanting about 9.1 a year.
Which somewhere to me is ludicrous.
Elliot Friedman said that Swayman started at 9.5 per year.
Yeah, like see, to me, see, that's... What,
do I win both content? Do I win both prizes? You know, like you do on the Showcase Showdown.
The prize, for the being, price is right.
Right, I came within $400,000 of the correct number, because here, like, I think we talked about this last night. I said, if you know that 8 at 8 is the number, then I'm saying, okay, either if Swayman would say, okay, I'll take the 64, but it's in 7 years. He would get 9.1 somewhere in there. So they were like, well, no, we're not going to do 7 years. We'll do 8 years. He says, well, I still probably want the 9.1. So somewhere between 64 and about $72 million, the answer is somewhere in the middle, right? It's like a tug of war. Which side does the little piece come over to show that you're winning? Somewhere probably around 72, about 70, somewhere in there. So that's why... If I'm the Bruins, I say, okay, look, it would be one thing if you've been consistent through the ranks, providing these games and then showing out, and it was now that time. But because it's been a short scale, and because we could have done this at arbitration last year, but we didn't feel like we should pay you that at arbitration last year. So why?
I mean, he got 3.48 at arbitration last year, and he wants to jump up to over 9. Like,
right.
That's
so
a huge jump.
What, like, if a Stanley Cup happened in between arbitration and now, give the man his money. In fact, walk up to his house with it in a briefcase, okay?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. Only a second round exit happened, and despite you being lights out, it's still not the end result that this team can justify giving you all that money right now. A little bit less, yes. All that right now, no.
I agree, and I think, and Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're a big Bruins guy. Tuukka didn't get his big deal until after the 2013 Stanley Cup final loss to the Blackhawks, in which that playoff run, Tuukka played literally some of the best goaltending in NHL playoff history. And
yeah.
And it took that. Like, I think he had a shorter bridge deal before, and it took that long, deep playoff run to Game 6 of the Cup Final before he got his big extension, and understandably so. And, like, that's the thing with Swayman. He won a round. He won Game 7 against Toronto. He was good against Florida. I think he had, like, one bad game against Florida out of the six. The rest he was good.
Right.
But it's only the second round, and I know it wasn't all him, but I need a little more than that if you want $9 million a year.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We still got Celtics to talk about as well.
KJ, and we have an angry hockey text in there.
Oh, who cares?
If Zach wants
I don't
to.
We
don't know anything.
Be towards the end. Yeah,
I know.
Well,
oh, my God.
What did I tell you about reading text? I don't even look
reading,
at this
I'm
thing on
paraphrasing.
The air. I don't even look at it while I'm on the air because you know this is a setup distraction.
I wonder
you
if it's Swayman texting in.
Well, if it is, call in. Be a man. Like, if you want to be bold, if you're willing to ask for $9 million, just call us and tell us, I want $9 million. And then, see, that's how you get fake calls. All right, it's time to trend with Zach Coe here on WEEI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins getting the win in preseason action last night, 4-1 the final over the Philadelphia Flyers. Captain Brad Marchand left last night's game with an illness. Next up for the Bees, they head to Quebec City to take on the Kings in the penultimate preseason game before heading down to Florida next Tuesday for the regular season opener against the Panthers. In goaltender news, the Bruins have claimed Jiří Patera off waivers. The 24-year-old netminder spent the last 2 years with old friend Bruce Cassidy in Vegas. Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins continue their contract stalemate. Swayman, as you just heard, has an open invite for KJ and Lyons if he wants to come discuss. Elliot Friedman saying on 32 Thoughts that the Bruins have offered him 8 years at $8 million AAV, the deal that Cam Neely alluded to the other day, but that Swayman seems set on a deal in the high $8 to $9 million range. Patriots back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup at Gillette with the Dolphins. Among those on the field are wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, who was working his way back from a torn ACL suffered last year. Pats head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media today saying that Antonio Gibson may get the start on Sunday after Ramondre Stevenson has fumbled in each of the team's first four games. Also that starting center David Andrews will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery and will be placed on IR. Playoff baseball underway. Detroit Tigers completing a two-game sweep of the Houston Astros. They'll move on to face the Cleveland Guardians in the division series. Orioles and Royals in action right now. Orioles fighting for their playoff lives, currently down 2-1 to the Royals in the top of the eighth inning. Mets and Brewers about to get underway in about 10 minutes. Mets looking to move on to the divisional series. And finally, the Padres will look to eliminate the Braves. First pitch set for 8:38. Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI. You got to play theme music like that when you talk about the 18-time champion Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum says, look, we can't be stopped. Like, well, actually, they did stop those Diddy parties at some point. But, God, they went on for 18 years. So, look, the Celtics now have the bullseye on them, John. And this is a different perspective than they've ever encountered, but yet fought so hard to get to. Just think about the construct of the team when Terry Rozier was still here and they were making that run and Kyrie Irving sitting with his legs crossed over there. Those were the young pups. These are now the big dogs of the NBA, and everybody's coming for them. And I think Jason Tatum's mindset is right where it needs to be.
Yeah, and if you look around the NBA this offseason, like Dallas adds Klay Thompson, the Knicks make multiple big deals, including the Karl Anthony Towns trade. It's like now these teams are making moves to counter the Celtics, where for years the Celtics were trying to get to that top of the mountain. Now they've gotten there, and they're trying to hang on. And I think, yeah, what you want from Tatum, and I would say from everybody, Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, is you want them to take what happened last year and build on it, right? Because now, hey, you still have all this talent. You still have these guys that play well together. But now you have that championship experience, which I think makes a big difference. Like we've seen over the years, and I know the last six NBA champions have all been different teams, but when we've seen teams repeat as champions in the last 20 years or so, I think a lot of times, KJ, that second team is better than the first team that won because they have a lot of the same pieces, but now they have that championship level experience, which the Celtics now have.
I guess the concern I would have in that same theory is usually when they repeat, there are veterans that they can get for a veteran minimum that can stand in and be able to do things where it's like, hey, this is not what their career used to be, but this is what they could offer now. You don't see that on the team right now. I know the NBA is a bit different, but I think that's still very key because you're going to need someone who can hit you a big shot who may not be one of the big names, and one of the better names may not be hitting big shots. I'll get into Derek White in a moment. But I guess the big story of all the moves that were made, initially it was like Paul George going to Philly and what that
does.
That's
another one. I didn't even mention that, yeah.
Well, that's because everybody's now talking about the Karl Anthony Towns deal of him now going to the Knicks for Julius Randle and for DiVincenzo. So they've broken up the Villanova thing, which I'm thinking, okay, that was starting to become as annoying as Kevin Sullivan being in the varsity club back in the wrestling days. It sounds good on paper until you start to play the tape of Karl Anthony Towns at the end of that series with Denver last year in Minnesota. That's the Karl Anthony Towns that I think you get in New York. And here's the other thing. Carmelo Anthony's career pretty much went when he went to New York. Why? He was home. What happened to Stephon Marbury when he went to New York? Because he was home. Now Karl Anthony Towns is back home. And I do wonder if being home is more of a distraction and more of an enjoyment than trying to beat the Celtics.
We even saw Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, if you want to put that there too, right? Went home, things didn't work out.
The Knicks are one of the, you know, they're the ones that are like, they do this consistently over time, where they get rid of someone who's very important to the continuity of the team. Like with the Carmelo deal is when they gave up all those picks back when Danilo Gallinari was like a young pup, and they gave up all those guys, and they ended up going to Denver just for Carmelo Anthony to what? End up in Denver. So this is one of those situations where Julius Randle, I can understand. I don't think he fit. If you're trying to construct yourself to beat the Celtics, Julius Randle now becomes too small. Right? Great what he could do, but like, could he really stay with the speed of Tatum if Tatum decides to go to the basket? If you're talking about boxing, you're talking about like, you just move Horford over him if he tries to go to the paint and he becomes a midget. But with Karl Anthony Towns, you do get that size.
And that's the really, to me, interesting thing about this Karl Anthony Towns trade. Because in the moment when I started, I'm like, why is Minnesota getting rid of him? Why are the Knicks like, and again, I know he's a great
problem.
I know he's a great player and all that, sure, but I'm like, why? And really, to me, this trade is about Kristaps Porzingis more than anything else. And we saw Porzingis and the amazing things he did last year for the Celtics. I mean, his offensive rating, 120.8. I mean, he was just 20 points, 7 rebounds a game. He was awesome. And I think, KJ, you and I did all the NBA Finals post games together.
Right.
I think the single best the Celtics looked the entire season was the Porzingis minutes in game one of the finals.
Yeah, like that's the tone.
They were unbeatable in those minutes. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but like that was the best they looked all year. And if you look at Karl Anthony Towns, profiles very similar to Porzingis, right? They're both 7-footers. They both can shoot threes. Karl Anthony Towns actually
defend on the perimeter.
Yeah, and actually Karl Anthony Towns catch and shoot 3% is actually a little bit better than Porzingis. So like very similar players. I think though, Porzingis, KJ, he has one chief advantage over Karl Anthony Towns, which I think could make the difference when these teams play each other in late April, early May. He's a better post-up player. And even though Towns looks bigger than him, looks stronger than him, Porzingis is actually the better post-up player, and I think that might be the difference. But this whole move screams Porzingis to me, the Knicks trade.
KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Here's Brad Stevens on the case scenario of where Porzingis is right now with his injury.
I'm really encouraged by the health of our team. I mean, we had Kristaps obviously had the surgery that was well documented after the year. And seems to be recovering well. He's very optimistic. I think I don't know that we're interested in putting a timeline on him because the injury is unique. But as far as how he feels and the progress that he's made, I'd say we're very, very pleased with where he is and maybe a little surprised.
You know, it's interesting when you just mentioned that how Porzingis is a better post-up player than Karl Anthony Towns. The question I would have is, who defends them in the post-up and who could be more effective? And this is where I think it's a draw, right? If you bodied Al Horford on Karl Anthony Towns, I think Al Horford's size could do, his bulk can do something to Karl Anthony Towns. And where you have Mitchell Robinson, his length could do some things to Porzingis in the paint as well. So I would give the edge a little to Cat going in the paint up against Horford than I would with Mitchell Robinson, who all he is defense and length, and just like Porzingis, is going to be recovering from an injury. So I think there's some nice chess pieces that play out in that regard. So we'll see how that all plays out. But it's fascinating on paper. I still think it does come down to, does Karl Anthony Towns give the effort like he's in the All-Star game, right? Like he's in the three-point shooting contest. It was like, I'm all in. Or do you get the Karl Anthony Towns that disappeared for 7 to 8 minute blocks in the playoffs last year against Denver when they had the better team than Denver?
Yeah, and I think when you look at Minnesota last year, because they lost in the West Finals to the Mavs, right? Like they
right.
But that was like a 5-game series, right? It wasn't super competitive. And you still looked at Minnesota and you're like, all right, maybe Anthony Edwards is the one, but Cat is the close second. You know, that team might be onto something there. Like them and Oklahoma City, those might be the teams going forward there. And for them to trade Cat, for again, I'm not trying to dog on Julius Randle. He's a very good player. He's been an all-NBA player. But for them to trade Cat, to me, part of it might be this financial stuff. We've talked about the Celtics and the second apron and all that that the Wolves were approaching. But then you wonder, right, was there some concerns about his fit there? And do those concerns come over to the Knicks where Tom Thibodeau's running that program and he's not going to deal with any not like you like or hate Thibodeau? Like that dude has a standard. And if you don't meet it, it's a problem. Right. And we've seen it in multiple.
Or you run.
Yeah, right. Like we've seen it in multiple different places. So it's just interesting to me because I think these moves, like I said before, now you have Philly. They go get Paul George. Dallas go gets Klay Thompson. Now the Knicks make multiple big trades, and it's about countering the Celtics. Because I really wonder, KJ, if the Celtics didn't have Porzingis, would the Knicks have traded for Karl Anthony Towns? Like to me, it's just so much to me of this trade.
I would say if they didn't have Porzingis, I don't think they make it to the NBA Finals last year.
Well, they went through most of the playoffs without him.
Well, but I think in terms of being able to put yourself in a situation where. Okay. So let me rephrase that. I don't think they win the NBA Finals. Remember, that was the conversation because, you know, Dallas was like, look, Porzingis is really the guy we kind of are concerned about and Jaylen Brown. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, but that was always the situation with the Celtics. I thought, you know, rim protection and additional body, you know, clearly Robert Williams' knees did not hold up together after the surgery and so forth. And, you know, what's just been continuing to go on. I think we're going to forever root for Time Lord.
Oh, I will.
But that was the idea, was like if Time Lord was still healthy, I think you would still have at least another piece of rim protection. I think part of it as well is that Milwaukee was eliminated sooner than later, right? Because that would have been the real test with their length and their size where you could rotate people in and Giannis just running down the lane. So by not having to see that did help the Celtics. I'm not going to say it's not going to lessen their championship at all. I'm just saying that what you did build and get that size piece to deal with Embiid and to deal with Milwaukee, and you ended up with Indiana. So, you know, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. It's just how the tree shakes out. Within 10 minutes, we're away from move them in, move them out. We're going to go through the NBA Eastern Conference and some of the teams in the West. Which ones do we keep close to the Celtics, or do we toss out and feel like, okay, they're not really a threat to the Celtics just now? Here's Jason Tatum on the energy fueled from what happened in the Olympics.
In real time, it was tough, but it's and Joe, I talked to Joe a lot. Joe was probably the happiest person in the world that I didn't win Finals MVP and that I didn't play in two of the games in the Olympics. So that was odd, but if you know Joe, it makes sense. Did I need any extra motivation coming into the season? No, I don't. I'm not going to give anybody in particular credit that, you know, they're motivating me to come into the season.
Think about this, John. There's literally going to be some type of redemption talk.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
Isn't that crazy about Jason Tatum as the season goes along? Because part of the narrative is, you mean this is the guy that couldn't play in every game? That's going to be – so that's the mini fuel. This is why I really enjoy Joe Mazzulla as this team's head coach. One, because he's not that far away from them in age. And two, he knows the different psychologies that are going to work for those guys. What's different than what's been in the past? Money, or it's leaked something here, whatever. It's just like, no, I'm really happy that didn't happen for you, because now you know what the narrative is going to be, and you get to defend something at the same time. It's one thing, like, if you're Anthony Edwards, right? You're not defending a title, and you were just another guy on the team. But if you're Tatum, you're like, okay, you're the guy who didn't win MVP for the for your team's finals. You then go to the Olympics, and you're kind of the designated bench guy, and now you've got to come back and defend a title. Tell me that does not fuel you like anything.
And I would even add on to that, Jaylen Brown, right? He got left off the team entirely. And so it's funny because, and I agree, Andy Hart has said this on a couple afternoon shows, and he's right in that it doesn't, like, these snubs or these motivations, it's not like the Celtics weren't going to try hard, and now they are. But what I think it does, and what it's really valuable at, is, you know, when a team wins a championship, sometimes there's that tendency to either lose a little bit of focus or
that's
the gas.
I'm worried about Derek White a little bit.
The gas is the foot is a little bit off the gas. And some of them have the mentality of, like, hey, just get me to the playoffs, get me to the playoffs. And they might get to the playoffs, but maybe they don't have the ideal seed or matchups, and it takes them a little bit to ramp up, and they struggle a little bit in, you know, say, the first or second round of the playoffs, and maybe even deeper. This Celtics team, now I know they're going to miss Porzingis early on. I really believe, KJ, when they get Porzingis back, whether that's December, early January, from that point on, as long as they're healthy, I think they're going to be better than they were last year. And last year's team, if you want to look at offensive rating, net rating, and all that, they were historically good, top 10 team all time. I think this year's team could be even better, and I think this stuff is part of it. It's not that, hey, they're going to suddenly try harder in a game in March because, you know, Tatum got benched against South Sudan or whatever, but these other little, like, the creeping areas or lack of focus that other teams deal with, I think the Celtics are going to be able to avoid this year.
Yeah, I hope the Celtics kind of come back like Aerosmith did with Pump and that three-album run where, okay, the issues that you guys had in the past, nobody has the big head anymore, nobody feels like they're greater than the bigger picture. I hope you see that, but there is a little bit of worry that I have around Derek White. And I know anything can happen to you when you go to a college football game and everything, but look, you're an NBA champion, you're an Olympic champion. I think you have to start carrying yourself into situations knowing that people are going to come at you. Now, granted that he didn't make any forward movement, but you wonder when you're doing the commercials, because you've always got to watch out for the guy who's come out of nowhere, right? Derek White is not this heralded guy. What was he, a one-star, two-star recruit in high school?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, right? He builds himself through JUCO, gets to Colorado, gets discovered by MA, and gets him down in San Antonio. MA brings him up here, and now he's become an Olympic champion who some would say was chosen before Jaylen Brown.
And a huge part of the Celtics finals run, too.
Right,
like, he hit the winning shot to beat the Pacers in game four.
And also a lot of commercials and camaraderie and people loving you and so forth. Like, these are the small things from a psychological standpoint that you have to keep eyes on, because when you become a champion, like, suddenly now you're like, when we used to do club shows, everybody used to help pack the stuff in the van. Now that we've got roadies and we're doing concert shows, I want my own hotel floor. I'm not saying that this is how the guy is, but what success sometimes can breed, what's the word I'm looking for? Complacency.
And that's why, again, I think some of these things around the Celtics that have happened this summer, and you can even add in the team going up for sale if you want, or how many people nationally this summer, and this kind of pisses me off sometimes, are still disrespecting how good the Celtics are. Like, you know,
well, that's because they don't like Boston.
No, and I get it, but I think that's, again, this is a unique advantage the Celtics have going to defend their title. Because this time last year, what was everybody doing? They were worshiping at the altar of the Denver Nuggets. A couple of years ago, what were they doing? Worshiping at the altar of the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis.
I was going to say LeBron. Right?
And sure, yeah, but like, that's typically what happens, right? How many times do we hear, oh, the Warriors with Durant are an all-time great team. This is amazing. And they were. I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying is, this Celtics team did not get that same level of respect. I mean, even going into the finals, it felt like everybody except me and you were picking the Mavs.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, this is crazy. The Celtics are way better than the Mavs. But it's been something that was there in the playoffs. It's carried over into the offseason. And that's why, to me, again, now they have that championship experience. They're still the most talented team in the NBA. Once Porzingis gets healthy, I think you put all that together and you add in the fact that several of their key players have been disrespected and their run last year has been at least slightly disrespected by some and more than slightly by others. We're going to see a team at least the second half of next year that's better than last year.
All right, next. Move them in, move them out. Are these teams really a threat to the Celtics championship this year, or do you toss them off the boat because they're just not there? Plus, if you're a Red Sox fan and you're watching Major League Baseball playoffs, you're going to get even sicker. That's coming at 8. Hang out. WEEI's got KJ and Lines on. I know Zach likes to visit, our producer Zach likes to visit those little places where you got to show your ID to walk into the store. Just for you, Zach, right there.
Every now and then.
More like every now and now. I'm with you, brother. KJ Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, 15 minutes away from Red Sox Nation, probably just threw up in their mouth a little bit if you've been watching the Major League Baseball playoffs. That's in 15. And we're about 2 minutes away from throw them in, or move them in, move them out, the NBA. So, John, I mean, how do you like sitting around at this time of the evening? You know, people are kind of driving back home and getting themselves kind of squared away. They get to hear KJ and Lines. It's like a sample. I don't know. Are we like on a charcuterie board right now? Because usually it's us on a Sunday morning. Now you've got us like in the middle of the week during a time where people actually awake until they get it.
And most of the time this month, we've had those hour and a half shows, like those quick sprints to Monday night or Thursday night football.
Oh, they've been better than feature films.
They have been. And now 2 days in a row of 4-hour shows. So how about that?
And this feels kind of good. I cannot lie. I mean, you know, I mean, great.
I appreciate that working with me feels, quote, kind of good.
Oh, like Belichick, like, I guess.
That, yeah, it's, oh, man.
I guess there's a plan.
I still can't get over that. Like, if he says he has a plan, I guess he's got a plan.
Yeah, before we get out of here at 10, we'll get into Belichick. And, like, there are three places that he can still get control and come back to coaching, but I don't believe he's coming to coaching. So continue to hang out. There's still plenty of show. Sometimes you'll hear on this show, there's 20 pounds of show, and how much of the bag weigh, John?
5 pounds.
5-pound bag. It's just bursting at the seams. So we appreciate those who have followed us to the weekends and are hearing us now. We just say, it is election season.
It's true.
It's election season.
We're a month away from the election.
Contact your congressman. Yeah. We'll give you his email if you want. No kidding. We're not going to do that. Though I might have some pictures from said white linen parties in the past that I might have on some said people here in the office. So just say it. If it ever goes down, I got your back, John.
Appreciate that.
37937, Zach, what's on the line?
Already going back to our conversation about the Allmark trade. They got nothing for Allmark. Do your research.
It's interesting because we did do our research and we mentioned that the problem was the Bruins traded Allmark without having a deal in place for Swayman. Like, I don't know. Maybe the
texter
missed that part.
What does the texter say? Nothing for Allmark? Like, what is the nothing?
Yeah, and like they got Korpisalo, they got a pick. So, again, I thought, I was hoping, and I think, KJ, you and I might have been on the air together when they traded Allmark. Like, I was hoping for a better return than what they got. Sure, I won't dispute that. But, I mean, they were at a point where they had to pick one of the goalies. They picked Swayman, but I think they made the mistake of they picked him without having a deal in place. And now you're sitting here, and Korpisalo is going to be your opening night starter in 6 days. That's not ideal.
Have you seen his record from last year?
Wow. And the crazy thing is, KJ, I think the Bruins legitimately could go to the conference final.
This guy's got
a
six
Swayman. And instead, like, they are starting Korpisalo.
Yeah, so what it sounds like is they were accommodating to where did Linus want to go? Where did Allmark want to go? And say, sure, we'll make that deal. And, you know, we'll accommodate you because in a perfect world, we would have kept you, but we can't meet your demands. Like, we respect you enough that we'll send you wherever you want to go. And is that home for him?
I don't know. He's from Sweden.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. It's not.
Okay,
part of it is that
maybe he's got a home. But
that's a guaranteed chance to start. Like, Ottawa, you go there, guaranteed chance to start. He's young enough. He could get another contract the next time he's a free agent. So,
right.
Like, I get. And look, I wanted a better return for him, too. I thought they were going to get multiple picks or good prospects. So, I'm not arguing that. It's just, I think the mistake by the team here, the real mistake was, if you're going to trade one of these guys, you got to make sure you have the other guy locked up to be here for a few years at least.
The Allmark return was also hampered by the fact that Ottawa wanted him to sign an extension and he wasn't willing.
And also Ottawa knew, well, if you keep Allmark, you're going to have a problem because then you're going to have Allmark and Swayman together both wanting to play 55 games.
Right. So that's the other part is, it's like, I think when you knew that you were going to go off of Allmark, you had to make the move as soon as possible. You don't want to keep the guy hostage and now have a guy who, you know, is not skating his best, you know. You're like, hey, man, why are you hanging out in the New Balance store? Don't you guys have practice right now? You know, like you don't want to be that disgruntled guy and then, A, have to stick him in there and then, B, not show what he has and then, C, potentially lose the trade value. He's no hotter than what he was at the end of the season in terms of the want. And like you said, he's going to get to play every game he wants to play for Ottawa. You know, so that's the other part of it. And because he wouldn't sign the extension, then it clearly tells you, like, I'm going to use Ottawa as probably as, like, resume tape and then see if I can make another move from there to show what I can do in a full season without doing a split situation. I just think the Bruins felt like, hey, we've probably repaired this, which we feel like this situation with Swayman has been repaired, whatever feelings there were during the arbitration. And I think they just got caught with the pants down and were just like, oh, he's still hot about that.
Yeah, it's been a year. Well, over a year now at this point.
It's like,
but
it's like, baby, you're still mad about that? Like we've been married for almost a dozen years. That happened 10 years ago. I'm not mad about it anymore, but it still upsets me when I think about it. That means you're still mad about it. So, there. Yeah, well, when do you think Swayman gets the deal done?
So the thing that I wouldn't be shocked here if this all resolves in December and he gets like
a
Tuukka Rask bridge deal, like, and it's 2 or 3 years of higher money.
Then, if that's the case, then trade him.
And then they either re-sign him in a couple of years. I mean, I'm not ruling out that he gets an 8-year deal, but I think this is going to go into mid to late November. And I'm actually now at this point leaning that there's some sort of bridge deal, 2 or 3 years. Decent money. He's a free agent at 28, and then they see if they want to, you know, give him a big deal at that point.
Yeah, why do all that dancing? All right, like I said, still to come, we've got to talk a little bit of how do you feel, Red Sox Nation, what just happened in Major League Baseball, plus Belichick in Philadelphia. That's still to come, but right now it's time for...
Just when I thought I was out.
No.
You insulted him a little bit.
Too bad we can't stay, baby.
All right, Zach, you give us the teams, and John and I will let you know whether we keep them reeled and close to the Celtics or do we toss them in the water. All right, first.
The Miami Heat.
I toss them. I actually think the Heat are overrated. Everybody worships Jimmy Butler, but zero championships down there. I respect him, but I don't think they're a real threat.
Yeah, Zach tossed Miami in the water with that. Yeah, did two of them. In fact, let them sleep in the fishes with the fishes down on for A1A. I think Miami's window has passed. I think once Damian Lillard didn't come, there was no longer a threat to the Celtics. Move them out. Next.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh, John.
So I don't think they're... I would keep them close, but I'm not that scared of them. Like, I don't think they're no threat, but it's a small threat.
He wanted to keep them, didn't you? I say reel them in. Keep them close because I think if there's one last revenge play, this is something that they want to do. So I would reel them in. I'd keep them in close. Keep them in this little tackle box right here. Next.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
I keep them. I think that's the biggest threat in the East to the Celtics now that they have Paul George.
I agree with John. In fact, oh, that's a big one right there. Look, yes. Philly was the sexy choice. I still think there's going to be a who gets the ball in the final moments scenarios that's going to start happening, and it may cost them a couple of games in their continuity. Does Tyrese Maxey suddenly become the third guy when really he's been the 1A guy over the last couple of years? Next.
The Orlando Magic.
Oh, I love the Magic, but I got to toss them. They're not there yet. I think they're building something, though. Give me 2 years from now we do this segment, I'll say reel them in, but toss them now.
Look, what they've got with Banchero, they've got nice size there. But again, they're just not ready for prime time. Not quite a minnow, but not also something you could take home for dinner. Throw the ass back in the water. Next.
The Indiana Pacers.
I'm going to reel them in. I know it was a sweep. That was the toughest series the Celtics had all playoffs. 3 of those 4 games came down to the wire, 1 overtime, a couple others right to the end of the fourth quarter, including the clincher. I reel them in. They're a threat.
I like what Rick Carlisle's done with these guys mentally, right? They, on paper, they should not have competed with the Celtics, but yet they gave the Celtics the most headache probably in the playoffs, outside of maybe Dallas for a couple of games. So, yes, I would keep reel them in. Just keep those guys close. Indiana, ooh, and if they make a big move too, geez.
Yeah.
Next.
All right, moving over to the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. I like, was it Jared Jackson Jr. who had the good game four for the Mavs? Obviously, they got Luka, but I don't fully buy it there. And I love Klay Thompson, too. I'm tossing him.
That's pretty, a 10-gallon hat. Yeah, that's what you need when we're fishing. Throw him in, because I think Klay Thompson went to the wrong team. If you told me Klay Thompson went to Denver, yeah, that's something different. But to Dallas, all you're doing is trying to get one guy to make up for what three guys couldn't do. And it still doesn't mean that one guy can get it done. I don't buy Dallas. Toss him back in. Next.
Next up, we got the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, they're a threat. Real man. And I don't think they're the same level of threat they were this time last year. They've had some attrition on their bench, but you still got Jokic, Murray, Aaron Gordon. That team's really good.
I'm going to go different here. I'm going to say toss them out.
Okay.
Because, as I mentioned, if you told me they got Klay Thompson, put him next to Jokic, along with Jamal Murray, maybe you lose Porter or you lose Aaron Gordon, probably Porter or someone like that, or you just remove them on, I think that becomes the team that they need to become. I think because it's what they say, the example of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting to get the same results. Well, the NBA has changed, and you still have the same Denver Nuggets team. I don't think they're a threat anymore. Last year I did, now I don't. Next.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Toss.
Throw them in. Toss. That's not even a big fish we threw back in. Next.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
No, I tossed. I don't think they're, without Karl Anthony Towns, like I thought him and Gobert together with Edwards would give the Celtics problems up front. I don't know with at post trade.
Really? That's a big toss in there because you got those big Gobert in there. You're throwing Naz Reid in there. But I'm going to say reel them in, and here's why. By getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns, the floor now spreads for Anthony Edwards, and you have a true power forward who can take smaller guys to the paint, bigger guys to the hole, and can body other guys when it comes to, and you've got Gobert who can play the defense, and you still have Naz Reid. So I like the move, and you've got DiVincenzo, so now you've got some outside shooting, which they struggled when Anthony Edwards wasn't on. So I think Minnesota's a team you can be close. Give us two more.
Alrighty, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'm glad you said this one because I think this is the biggest threat to the Celtics this season. Reel them in. This is a team that has star power, size, intensity. Oklahoma City's a brutally tough place to play. Celtics went there in early January, full strength, playing great, still lost to the Thunder in that game. So I think they are actually the biggest single threat to the Celtics wing at all.
John, let me help you pull up that big old fish. Reel them in. Pause. Look, this team is legitimately building themselves to be like the Celtics, and they've got pieces that are developing together, and they've got plenty of cap space. They ever want to make a complete amazing move, I'm with you, John. They may be the most dangerous team to the Celtics in the long term. One more.
All right, last one, the Phoenix Suns.
I'm going to reel them in, and I know they've underachieved the last 2 years. Kevin Durant played at an all-NBA level last year. They have Devin Booker, who's, by the way, played over Jason Tatum in the Olympics. But they have a ton of talent. Frank Vogel's won an NBA championship. I think there's, again, there was some underachieving there last year, last couple of years. I think they are a real threat, though. They have enough talent.
I say toss their non-defending asses in. Who defends on that team? Who?
Don't put me on the spot because I can't answer.
There you go. Yeah. The third hour of KJ Lyons next here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. baseball your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.